Hello, everybody. Pastor Adam here. Very happy to be back home. Candace and I were in South Africa doing ministry for like 16 days and got a little time here in between. And we're leaving next week to go to Australia, New Zealand, and Hawaii. We'll be gone for almost 4 weeks. So look for some of the events that we did in South Africa to be showing up on this podcast. But I've got a message today, and I'm excited to share with you. Let's go to the Lord first and honor Him. Thank you, God, for today and for the beauty that You've created in this world. And You believe in us enough to have us here to be stewards. And You've delegated us an assignment. So, Father, we thank You for that. We thank You for empowering us with the presence and giftings of the Holy Spirit. And we ask for Your continued grace and mercy and justice in this world. We thank You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we come to You, Father. Amen. So I titled this today, Under the Influence. And I think it'll make sense once we get into it. Now, we're going to begin today by looking in our Bibles in Acts chapter 4. But I want to set this up before we get into Acts chapter 4. Now, what's going on here leading up to Acts chapter 4, and what we're going to read is we have two guys. They're named Peter and John. And they had been hanging out with Jesus for, his entire earthly ministry. That's, it's over 3 years. And Jesus taught these two a whole bunch of things about how to live life and treat people. And then Jesus says, I need to return to be with the Father as I have to prepare a place for my bride, which is all of us humans that believe in Him. And then when the Father tells me it's time, I will return to get my bride. And the last thing Jesus does for them before returning to the Father is He tells them to wait and go to Jerusalem and wait because I'm going to send you a gift. That gift is the Holy Spirit. And then, as sure as Jesus said it, the Holy Spirit comes, and there were 120 people, and these folks encountered the Holy Spirit things, and after that, things started to get a little bit unpredictable. Because the Holy Spirit has the ability to turn life upside down. The Holy Spirit has the ability to root out every bit of nonsense from us that in turn gets us doing some, unpredictable things. See, folks, we are created in the image of God. And God is a spirit. So we are spiritual beings. That's what gets born again is our dead spirit. We're not just created to live in the natural. We are created to live and breathe in what I would say is the supernatural. And see, what is recorded in the remainder of the New Testament are some crazy things that we're introduced to in Acts chapter 2. Okay, now, back to these two guys. Peter and John were part of that 120 people in that room, and they were visited by the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, if you will. And they are so consumed by the Holy Spirit, so passionate about what their assignment is, which is to spread the good news, that during their appointed prayer time, yes, you heard that right, they had scheduled prayer time. Devout Jews and Gentiles that believed in God would pray at 9 a.m., at 3 p.m., and then at sunset. At three times a day, they had devoted time set aside for prayer. So it was that they were going to the church, they were going to the synagogue to pray. They had an encounter with a lame man. Well, the man receives healings from the Lord via what Peter shares with him. Peter's just talking to him and sharing with him. And then Peter and John started preaching as the crowd is in an amazement that this lame man is now walking. Now, what comes across as a little strange, maybe for our church culture today, is that Peter and John didn't wait for the band to play or for the choir to sing. They didn't even wait for the congregation to gather. They just started sharing what had happened. They were, one could claim, very bold, very courageous. And yes, a crowd did form as the people just came to listen and gather. And while they are preaching, there is quite a ruckus that is caused. So with that kind of preview, that overview, if we will, let's look at Acts chapter 4, starting with verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Okay, that's just verses 1 and 2. Now, let's point out that these priests, these guards and Sadducees' main complaint was not that there was a crowd, but that Peter and John were preaching in the name of Jesus. See, folks, this is a big takeaway we got to get. The world is okay with us doing good deeds for people. And that's one of the things as Christians we're supposed to be doing. But we have got to understand that as Christians, we are called to preach the name above every name, to preach in the name of Jesus. And folks, I'm telling you, when you start preaching Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, ascended, well, things start to get a little crazy. Now, speaking about my own experiences, what I've noticed is when I talk with people and tell them, you know, I go to church, they have no problem with that because it's pretty much normal. It's accepted. It's right that people will go to church in America, in the Western world. But what is interesting, even among some Christians, is if you preach Jesus in the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection and ascension, well, then people get a little antsy. They get uncomfortable. Why? Well, because the name of Jesus convicts people and makes us think about the things we're doing that in that moment that are not holy and righteous. Okay, let's continue now with Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, starting with, I'm going to read from verse 3 to verse 13 now. Okay, Acts chapter 4, continuing on with verse 3. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stand before you healed. He, Jesus, is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Okay, hallelujah, amen. So right away, we need to understand that this discourse recorded in Acts chapter 4, what was going on is that Peter and John stepped up in that moment and operated in something that called the religious court to look at them and recognize that these men are, here it is, under the influence of something. The moment the court looked at Peter and John and saw the courage and boldness that Peter and John were operating in, the Bible says that they then recognized Peter and John as having been with Jesus. In other words, these religious leaders had seen this kind of behavior before. Now, okay, in our language today, if we say the phrase "someone is under the influence," well, don't we tend to immediately think that it refers to someone being under the influence of some substance like alcohol or drug, right? Drugs of some kind. Some foreign substance is in their bloodstream, in other words. And I think it's safe to say that all of us have seen it or, you know, if we're honest, possibly at some point in our lives participated in it. You don't need to be ashamed of that. If you've confessed it and repented of it, hallelujah. Move on, live on. Use it as part of your incredible testimony to help others come to the Lord. I mean, but back to this. I mean, we can tell when somebody is under the influence, I think, right? I mean, it's a pretty messy picture, isn't it? And the thing about it is if we see somebody that is under the influence, nobody has to tell you where they've been or what they were doing. You know where they've been or what they were doing, right? I mean, see, when you're under the influence of drugs and alcohol, people can tell. No, nobody has to convince you that they've been at the club or the bar or, you know, putting them down at home or, you know, been at a party, because it's all over them, right? I mean, so a challenge for us every day is, what will we do? Like, I'm just getting right to the point. What are we going to do when we leave our homes, the comfort of our home? Do we go out and get some food? Do we go to our jobs? Do we go out shopping? Do we head to school? Those are some examples, right? My point is, when we leave the comfort of our home, will people look at us and know that we are Christians? Are people going to know that you have been marinating in and under the influence and have been drinking and eating of the Holy Spirit? I contend that we, right? We've got to understand that you and I, we were created to live under that influence. And see, it's your choice as to what you want to be under the influence of. And when you're really living under the influence, you cannot hide it, can you? See, sadly, and I get exasperated about this. I've talked about this for decades. We have too many Christians that are influenced by, but not under the influence of, the Holy Spirit. What do I mean? Well, people will say Jesus' influence is my conversation, or Jesus' influence is me when I open my Bible to do my devotional, or Jesus' influence is me when I go to my local church. Let me be blunt. Let me be frank as I can be. Folks, that is not living under the influence. That is living influenced by, right? At the times when it's convenient for our choosing. I want to get us to the point of being real honest, looking in the mirror. I want to have us grow some today, mature some, if you will, and get serious about this, because Jesus Christ did not die on a cross just for our Sunday mornings or our Wednesday evening or our scheduled Christian community event. Jesus Christ came so we could live every moment of our lives completely under the influence of him. And when we are living under the influence of Jesus, people will be able to tell and will take notice. People should see a boldness and a courage in us. It makes me think of when Jesus was calling the disciples, right? They're introduced to Jesus as he's walking on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Now that word "make" in the Greek means to shape, to frame, to form, or to construct. And notice that it doesn't mean to make you popular, rich, or famous. And I think it's very healthy for every person to ask themselves daily if they are being made, shaped, framed, formed, or constructed into a fisher of men. Because all of us are called to be fishers of men. I mean, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're following Jesus Christ, then he's making you, he's already done it, he's made you a fisher of men, but maybe you're not going fishing too often. And if you're not being a fisher of men, then I would question, well, who are you following? Because Jesus doesn't say, "Follow me so I can make you a movie star, or a famous author, or a celebrity, or wealthy, or make life easy." No, not at all. Jesus says, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men." And so in all our becoming and all our doing, let's keep that near the front of what we're doing with our daily lives. Are you fishing for souls? Folks, those moments in a worship service or at a conference or in a church setting, these incredible experiences of encountering God really has very little to do with you. Now, some of you right now are probably thinking, "Well, isn't this about me a little bit so I can get full?" Well, yes, absolutely. But if that is all you get from that, then that is a self-centered, immature processing of the totality of what this life is all about, folks. It isn't about what God wants to do in you as much as it's about what God wants to do through you as a vessel submitted to an eternal perspective, an eternal worldview. Meaning, if the encounters you have with God stay in your little box, then in the big picture, it really has little to no impact in this life. It only impacts you. Another way to say it is, these encounters you have with God should be way more than fulfilling your personal prophecy, folks. This needs to be understood as a principle of stewardship. Yes, absolutely. Sure, you get filled up with the Holy Spirit, but if you don't pour it out, then it is useless and it gets spoiled and smelly like a rotten egg. Because God wants to empower us so that when we do venture out, we are under the influence of Him and this bright shining light that draws the darkness, right? Or eliminates the darkness. And people will look at us and know, well, what we've been doing and where we've been spending our time. The world is watching Christians make decisions and live life with the character that they will prove they must be under the influence of Jesus Christ. And it is then that we are living under the influence of something that is not ourselves. Do you realize as Christians, we are called to walk in something that is clearly so much bigger than us? The Bible tells us here that in Acts chapter 4, that when they looked at Peter and John, they said they're ordinary guys, just regular guys. But regular guys filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that turned them into bold and courageous warriors for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord is constantly encouraging anyone that would be crazy enough to think that God could actually grab a hold of them and do something through them that is so much bigger than they are. Think about this, that the creator of the world could do something through little old you in your little community that is a supernatural thing that causes people to look at you and see that Jesus resides in you. We are called to live under that influence. And what I've witnessed, and many of us relate to this about Christians living under the influence, is that those kind of people become unashamed. In other words, they don't give a rat's behind. They don't care what people say when they talk about Jesus Christ. They're not concerned about being politically correct or woke. They're not going to be tolerant or even concerned if they're liked or even popular with their crowd of friends or anybody else. So let's continue to take a dive down this being real scenario, if you will. When people are drunk in the natural, on alcohol, or in drugs, there is no shame, right? They don't care what anybody thinks, right? Come on now. And why is that? Because something else has got a hold of them and they are not worried about what people think of them. They are always, right? They're always smarter, funnier. They get better looking. They're all of a sudden stronger. They're wealthier. They're spending their money like fools, right? They're bolder. They're more courageous than when they were walking sober, right? They're bold because they're under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Well, I'm getting real here. Let's look at some more real stuff, okay? See, reality for too many Christians is they have these moments with God. And then, sadly, too often, they downplay what had just happened. Probably because they're nervous, they're ashamed, or I guess maybe they're worried about how it's going to be perceived by somebody else if they share it. Now, I want to share a personal story, a personal experience I had. It was probably around 2009, I think. It was like 16 years ago. We had just moved to Jacksonville. I'd been here maybe a year. And I went to this Publix. It was very close to our home. It was just like right outside the community we lived. It's like a mile away. It's a grocery store here in Florida. And I was building a relationship with one of the workers there that was frequently stocking the shelves. And one day, this guy, he asked me if I was going out. It was like a Friday, I think. He said, "Hey, are you going out tonight?" I was going to go out and party into the club, you know? And I told him, "Hey, man, you know, hey, brother, I have not done that in a long time. And in fact, you know, I don't want to mislead you. I don't even do that anymore." And he kind of looked at me like he was a little bummed for me. Like I was missing out on something, right? Missing out on the good stuff in life. And he said, why don't you do that anymore? Now, this is a critical juncture here. I could have, in that moment, given the textbook answer of, "Hey, you know, I got to get my sleep so I can be up and ready for church," or "There's a Saturday night worship service." I could have threw all this religiosity stuff at him, right? Some kind of Christianese answer. But you know what? I looked straight at him and I said, "Do you want to know the honest reason?" And it's like his whole countenance perked up, because I think he was realized he wasn't going to hear, you know, he's going to hear my heart. He wasn't going to hear some like nonsense typical answer. So I shared with him that I had an encounter with God years ago where I experienced the presence of God all over my body, and it changed my whole life from that moment until this present day. So the answer of why I didn't go to the nightclubs anymore is because the reasons I used to go to the nightclubs had been satisfied from that encounter with God. So I don't need to go searching anymore. I found what I was looking for. Because what God did in that moment was like, I don't know, you know, a billion times more than what I had ever experienced going out drinking or looking after things I shouldn't be, right? And that thing with the Lord hasn't stopped. And I also tell them, I said, listen, and I don't have a hangover, but I am kind of drunk. I'm drunk in the spirit. And that did it, kind of grabbed his attention. He said, well, what changed? And I said, my fears, insecurities, and addictions were gone, and I experienced true love and acceptance like I never had before. And then he asked, well, how long ago did this happen? Because he was like, was this just like the last week, or last month or something? And I said, well, it was over a decade ago. And he said, that happened that long ago and you're still stoked by it today? You're still like, you're really excited about this. You know, folks, it gets me thinking. The world is always talking every Monday about the great party that happened over the weekend. And if it was really a good party, they may be talking about it for a few weeks, maybe even a month, you know? But not many in the world are walking around talking about a party that happened a decade ago. And nobody is talking about a drink they had over a decade ago, because what Jesus does, the world cannot do. And I tell you this to bring up this point. What really seemed to grab this guy at the Publix was that I was talking about it in an unashamed way. I was talking about it boldly. I wasn't whispering. I wasn't looking around to see who might be looking at me or listening to try to keep my voice down. Uh-uh. And why I bring this up is because there are more non-Christians stoked and excited and proud of their sinful behavior than Christians who are proud of our Savior. I guess what I'm doing here today is encouraging us to share unashamedly that it was Jesus who hung on the cross and paid the price for all of our sins. See, we have got to refuse to sit back and hold back and let some people talk proudly and boldly about the sin that Jesus Christ died for. We have got to lift up the name of Jesus higher than any other party and live under the influence of Jesus Christ. When we are unashamed and we're bold and courageous, it will grab the attention of people and they will say, wait a second, there's something going on here, and this guy is not just a church guy, or this is not some religious guy, but there's something else going on here. You know, people, what I've observed is that so many of us are so full of fear and we are so worried about what people will say or what people will think that we just decide not to speak up. And I'm trying to reiterate over and over in these weekly podcasts, it's not complicated, people. Just unashamedly share your testimony. You do not have to be a biblical scholar. Be just like Peter and John and share what you know. Because when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will not care what others think or what others say. And you know what else? When you're under the influence of God, you get bold and there's a courage that comes upon you. See, Peter and John had just been preaching and they are now in front of the court that had nailed Jesus Christ to the cross just a few weeks earlier. And they had been preaching in the name of Jesus. In other words, you will have unbelievable courage and boldness to get up in front of people and tell them what is going on and not be concerned about the consequences. In this case, in Acts chapter 4, it was the head of the religious court. The very same guys who Jesus had met with just a few weeks earlier before they charged him with blasphemy and requested and demanded that he be crucified. And Peter and John said, we are preaching in the name of this very Jesus Christ that you killed. And don't forget now, folks, about that both Peter and John and all the other disciples had run for cover, for safety, when this same group took Jesus into custody. Just weeks prior, they took Jesus and had him murdered on a cross. Folks, when we get under the influence of the Holy Spirit, of the presence of God, there is boldness that comes upon us. And catch a hold of this too. When we are under the influence, we can't seem to do those wrong things we used to do. Oh, this is such a great thing. Here comes some more real stuff. When we see someone under the influence of alcohol or drugs, It is funny to try and watch them try and walk, right? Walk straight, or heaven forbid their drive, or even talk for that matter. Things that they normally could do, but when they're under the influence of drugs and alcohol, they can't do that thing anymore. Under the influence of alcohol and drugs, we embrace sin and choose sin so much easier. Those issues we don't want to do, but do under the influence of drugs and alcohol. Well, one of the best ways to beating that sin and overcoming that issue in your life is to get so much of the Holy Spirit and then pour it out by serving and helping someone else. See, the reality of what happens when somebody is under the influence of alcohol and drugs is they can't do what they would normally be able to do because they have more of the substance than their flesh than their flesh can handle. I want to try to explain this. See, we have to understand that it is possible for us to have so much of the presence of the Father and so much in the name of Jesus Christ and so much of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life that we aren't satisfied doing those things that you used to do. Stuff that you used to listen to, for instance, ways that you used to speak to people, places that you used to hang out with. Because what is happening to you is that the influence of the Holy Spirit will not allow you to do that any longer. It's dominating your soul now. Your spirit has got the wheel. And your soul is in the back seat, finally, where it needs to be, or in the passenger side. Your mind, will, and emotions have submitted to the will of God. Like when you will have the opportunities to witness and share about Jesus, where normally fear overcame you, but now the Holy Spirit takes over. Because we have so much influence of Jesus that our flesh can't handle it, and our sin can't handle it, and our issues can't hang around any longer because we're so full of the Holy Ghost, and we are so empowered by Him that we can't do those things we normally would do. I mean, gosh, what would happen if every person decided that they're not satisfied just to attend church or attend a conference about Christianity or wear their favorite church shirt or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? All these religious steps. Let me tell you something. Conferences, Christian conferences, large groups of Christians at ministries, at church events, do not scare the devil. A big crowd does not rattle the Satan. You know what does? One person, just one person that would be crazy enough, bold enough, courageous enough to say, God, I want so much of you, Father, that my flesh can't handle it. Now that puts the Satan on his heels. Just one person under the influence of Jesus will freak out the Satan and the demonic. Is there just one person that is crazy enough to say to God, I want to live under the influence? Is there just one person that is saying, I don't want to just do a Sunday service again, but I am deciding right here, right now, I will not walk out those doors the same way I came in? You know, folks, our unsaved friends can't afford for us to walk away the same way we came in. Under the influence of God in those moments where God will take over when you return to work on a Monday, right? Or you return to school on a Monday. And people ask you, hey, how was your weekend? And you tell them how you got, you know, for lack of a better term, but the analogy of how you got smashed in the Holy Spirit and you're still drunk. You can talk about the party you had where God smacked you upside the head and you are still under the influence. So let me talk about this and share with you what happened on my weekend. And I believe right now God is speaking to some of you. Some of you have names and faces of family and friends coming to your mind right now. What if right now you decided and said enough is enough? What if you decided I don't care anymore? I just want more of Jesus and nothing else is going to dictate how I live. I mean, not trying to be gruesome here, but right now there will be some young girl this very day that will give her virginity away to the first guy that will give her attention. There will be somebody tonight that will try and take their own life because they feel like they have nothing left to live for. It's going to happen in your city. It's going to happen in city after city around the world. What would happen if just one of us decided to grab a hold of Jesus like never before? That somebody right now is opening their heart and abandoning themselves and saying, God, I surrender and please take a hold of me. Take a hold of me, God, with all my problems, all my imperfections. Grab a hold of me, empower me, God. I think somebody's saying that right now. I want to encourage you to submit to the Lord and live under the influence of Him and be fishers of men. God bless you all.